Frequently asked questions regarding the topic of fate. Question 1. Since my fate has already been predetermined, and since what will be, and what won't be, can't ever be, then what's the point in doing anything at all? Answer 1. If not doing anything at all is a part of your fate, then you must certainly go ahead and not do anything. But if you're destined to do something, then it will be eased for you, and you will inevitably be drawn to doing it. Question 2. If Allah has determined for me to go to hell and has eased the deeds of hell for me, then what's my fault? Answer 2. The Sovereign One may administer his sovereignty however he likes. Just as you assume the right to manage your possessions however you like, and should you be prevented from doing so, you would complain that your rights are being breached. Allah, the absolute owner and creator of the universe, has the right to do as he wills, however he wills, without any conditions. Question 3. Isn't this then an act of compelling? Answer 3. A. Allah is Al-Jabbar, the compeller, the one whose will is compelling. The corporeal worlds, meaning engendered existence, are compelling to comply with his demands. There is no room for refusal. This jabr, meaning compelling, quality will inevitably express itself and apply its laws through the essence of beings. Answer 3b. In reality, and from the point of non-duality, since you don't have any actual existence, this view is rendered invalid at the onset. You're comprised of a name, an assumed existence, a constructed identity, made up of 5 senses, a relative being. In respect of your cells, you're a big cellular mass. In respect of light, you're an illuminant being comprising all sorts of colors. In respect of your brain, you're a cosmic being programmed to output a specific function, and yet in respect of your essential reality, you comprise all of the qualities of the universe. Question 4. If I don't have a separate existence, and I don't actually exist, then why is there a place called hell? Why should I be subject to suffering? Answer 4. This is true for now too, yet you're constantly being subject to different forms of suffering. Just as you burn and suffer in this life, the same form of burning and suffering will be in effect in the life after. Question 5. If my fate is predetermined, then I'm not going to perform any of the spiritual practices. If I'm fated to go to hell, I'll go to hell. And if I'm fated to go to heaven, I'll go to heaven anyway. Answer 5. If Allah has created one for heaven, he will facilitate him to do the deeds of the people of heaven. And if he has created him for hell, then he will ease the deeds of the inhabitants of hell. Whatever you're created for, that will become easy for you anyway. You will most certainly and inescapably live the consequences of your actions. Question 6. Prayer can prevent misfortune. Isn't this changing fate? Answer 6. That prayer is also a part of one's fate. Question 7. Do I not have a personal will then? Answer 7a. Nowhere in the Quran or any of the hadiths, the phrase personal will is mentioned. Answer 7b. Since the whole of existence is no other than his existence, his absolute will is in effect in every iota of existence. If he wills to lift the veil that covers your foresight, basira, you will see that everything you think you own is owned by the One. One's personal will is nothing other than the absolute will, guised as a person's will. There is no person in essence, so how can there be a personal will? The universe is a non-dual single being. Question 8. So, then all my inadequacies and shortcomings belong to him too? Answer 8. All of your qualities and attributes pertain to the relative assumed existence. They too are relative and illusory. In reality, neither you nor your attributes have a separate existence, and nothing in this infinite being is inadequate or faulty. Question 9. Well, how about some of the simple primitive things in the universe? Do they also pertain to the One? Answer 9. For the eye that perceives primitiveness, they don't pertain to the One. For the eyes with foresight and insight, these things are redundant and invalid anyway, since their brains do not depend on their eyesight. They have risen from the level of having their thoughts determined by their eyes to having their sight determined by their thoughts. They have reached the station of selflessness. Question 10. I don't understand most of the things you say, but I don't want to deny them either. What do you advise me to do? Answer 10. Acquire knowledge. Don't ever stop researching and acquiring knowledge. Always seek knowledge from its source. Knowledge will not be lost until the time of doomsday. Apply the teachings of the Rasul of Allah and research into their wisdom. If Allah has willed good for someone, He will ease the understanding of religion for him. Always seek wisdom. Don't waste your time with idle talk and gossip. Question 11. Researching and seeking knowledge isn't for me. I find it difficult to apply these things. Answer 11. Then just do as the Rasul says and don't prevent others from doing so. Question 12. If I'm predestined to have knowledge, then even if I don't acquire it, will it not come to me? Answer 12. Everything is linked to a cause. If you're predestined for an effect, the cause will also be given to you. But if you're not, then the cause will seem too difficult for you. Question 13. Some verses and hadith talk about how we will experience the consequences of our own actions, whether this is a reward or a deprivation. Doesn't this denote that we have a will to do or not to do these things? Answer 13. The person will reach the result of the actions that he engages in, positive or negative. However, his actions are not independent of the Absolute One's predetermination. Question 14. So I will definitely reach the results of whatever I do. Answer 14. You will be facilitated to do the actions that will lead you to the result of the things for which you have been predestined. Amen to Lucy. 8th of April, 2007.